African swine fever.
It's
a big story. It's been a big story. Mm-hmm. You just mentioned that the Wall Street Journal is finally making note that if they do liquidate a large amount of the hog herd in China, that we could mm-hmm. be taking a bite out of the Chinese demand for soybeans, for protein, for animal feed. So
could be as much as 11%.
Yeah.
The release said 11% drop in soybean imports.
Yeah, or more,
mm-hmm.
I would argue. But, you know, it's an effort in China to get that disease under control. And it's not just a animal disease effort. It's an economic effort to get that disease under control. And we're going to talk now with Erin Borer. She is an economist with the U.S. Meat Export Federation. She joins us now. Erin, how are you?
Good. Good morning.
Good morning to you. I'm so glad that you can make time to be with us today.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Okay. So, Erin, this U.S.-China Swine Symposium, what exactly is that? Was that?
Okay. Yes. We've done this for the past 7 years, roughly, with our partners at the U.S. Grain Council, U.S. Soybean Export Council, and also our Chinese collaborators, so their Animal Ag Association and Chamber of Commerce and Meat Association. And the goal has been over these past several years to bring U.S. and China swine industries together as, you know, basically the biggest producers in the world outside Europe, and to try to work together on common challenges and opportunities, if you will. And so clearly this year, the obvious choice for discussion was animal disease and specifically African swine fever.
Right, right. You know, Erin, the swine symposium, is this where China, I shouldn't say got the idea, but were encouraged to westernize their hog production, to commercialize, bring it inside and out of the backyard production?
Well, I don't think we can take credit for that.
Right.
But we have tried to discuss topics. I think last year the topic was manure management. So, yes, it is detailed and real, you know, producer issues. And it brings together academics in the field, but also those companies providing services and this type of thing to try to get knowledge actually into, you know, Chinese production. And of course these collaborating associations have reached to their industry membership. So,
right.
So yes, we're trying to provide some of the expertise from our U.S. industry to our Chinese counterparts, and obviously helping your customers generally is a win-win for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. And the amazing thing here to me, Erin, is when we talk about hog production in China, and we talk about the modernization of the farrowing house, modernization of the finishing house, but it doesn't change the fact that there are still a lot of hogs that are produced in backyards, right?
Right. Yes, definitely. And China, really starting in, say, 2015, they've had this kind of national effort to restructure their industry, and it was partially environmentally driven, you know, so moving hogs away from major urban areas and water sources. And so the government has had this restructure effort heavily underway, and that's part of why we saw China's spike, their last spike in imports back in 2016, which was not disease driven. That was actually industry transformation driven and following producer losses in the previous year. But what's very interesting is that this disease kind of, you know, tragic situation could really help China take up another gear on jumping to a more commercialized industry, which, you know, the track they've already been on, but accelerating it out of, you know, the need for survival, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the term accelerated, but really what we're talking about is forcing it here at this point, right?
Yes, exactly. And, you know, the disease is, I mean, it's scary, and I learned even more that day and hearing, especially from our U.S. speakers, so including Randy Spronk from Spronk Brothers, hearing how they have learned to operate, you know, following PED virus in the U.S. and how that's totally changed the game on biosecurity on our U.S. operations, and hearing the, you know, the detailed, very meticulous steps that need to be taken every day by everyone involved, you can see where China's challenge is, and the disease moving through various vectors, you know, the human part, which is very important, and then the case in Europe where it's humans but also wild boars, and boars being a factor to some extent in China as well. So, yes, it's a huge challenge to tackle and certainly does require professionalizing in a big, big way.
See, yeah, that's a great word for it right there, Aaron. And the reason that I say that is I've heard Randy talk about this before. And when he talks about biosecurity on his operation, he says, you know, we're doing things that almost come naturally to us to make sure that we don't have any disease issues in our finishing houses, firing houses. He said, but the things that come naturally to a U.S. producer have to be taught to those Chinese producers. That's really the bottom line, isn't it?
Definitely. And as Randy put it, I mean, you have to have employee buy-in. They have to be, you know, a part of the team and dedicated. And yes, it became, I don't know, much more clear to me after spending the day or two with Randy.
Yeah. So, Aaron, when we talk about the impact of ASF on the Chinese hog herd, of course, we're talking numbers. The last number that I had was just under 1 million head have been euthanized in an effort to control the spread of the disease. Is that an accurate number?
Well, out of what's been reported, yes. And it's, you know, of course, with China talking hog production and numbers, it's always complicated and murky. But I think what became more clear to us in talking with kind of the industry analysts over in Beijing is that you have the disease-related direct depopulation, but you also have a lot of producers who are simply getting those hogs to market because they don't want the risk. And, you know, the subsidies for depopulating, if you have a finding, are not that high. So there's not like a good reward for saying, hey, I think I have the disease. And so there is incentive to get those hogs to market, depending on where you are, because the hog price varies dramatically right now because of transportation restrictions. But there's incentive to get those hogs to market before they get sick, or even at the first sign that they might be off a little bit.
Yep.
And so that's what's harder to really capture is the number of hogs that are going to market now that won't be there, you know, in the coming months. And so we heard that there are a lot of inventories, and especially in the north where you can just set that pork outside right now because it's cold enough. And there's the backed up hogs issue where because you can't move pigs in a lot of cases, and obviously they were being transported long distances to be killed near the population for warm pork the next day. And so everything has been completely mixed up, but I think it became clear to me that there are big inventories that are going to have to be worked through before China really has a hole or needs to really start importing. Of course, Chinese New Year starts next week, and so the market has gone kind of quiet at the moment, and there was not a big increase in buying ahead of Chinese New Year. And so everyone will be watching to see what happens after the holidays. And I think our read is that the buying might not materialize for a while. So everyone's trying to guess when the hole is, and we certainly don't know, but it seems like there's product that needs to be worked through and still some hogs that need to be worked through before that shortage starts to show up. And then the magnitude, you know, it's anybody's guess.
Yep. But the bottom line here, Aaron, is that we're going to see a disruption on the supply side, and that hole is going to be our best opportunity to maybe slide in there and get some additional pork exports flowing into China, huh?
Certainly. And I mean, the biggest thing here is that we still have those retaliatory tariffs on U.S. pork.
Yes.
And so that 50% tariff, it makes it, I mean, China's hog prices could spike to 18 to 20 renminbi, and we'd be in the game even with tariffs. But it's a huge constraint for us at the moment.
Gotcha. Aaron, I sure appreciate you making the time for us this morning. Interesting stuff, and we'll stay in touch, okay?
Okay, sounds great. Thank you. Thank you.
That is Aaron Borer. She is an economist with the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Wow, interesting stuff. Coming up next, we've got Dr. Jason Lusk from Purdue University.